Every leader has problems. Increasing your leadership intensity won't fix them in a healthy way. You need an increase of clarity. From starting businesses, leading multiple nonprofit organizations, both large and small, and a full family life, Dr. Chris McAllister learned how to shift his thinking to thrive. He will help you order your internal world so you can lead your external world. Welcome to the Site Shift Lead Podcast with Chris McAllister.
Podcast number 11, and we're doing this again, and you're here, and I'm so glad you are. We're talking about what it means to enjoy relationships, and all of this is built on everything we've been covering up to this point. So it's one thing to master conflict, what we talked about last time. It's another skill to learn to actually enjoy the relationships around you. And when you enjoy people, it's going to unblock healthy leadership. It's going to unblock brilliant navigation of the relationships that you have commitments to and that you love. We were at the dinner table last week, as I'm recording this now, and my wife had said something, and rather than registering my disagreement with a parenting decision, she called my attention out to something that I do when I disagree. She said, when you do that, when you disagree with me, you raise your eyebrows. And then my 12-year-old daughter sitting to my right goes, and you let out a breath. So here they are calling me out on some of my relational tells at dinner. And I feel this within me, a little bit of defensiveness starting to creep up. I wanted to try to navigate it and go down in a ball of flames, proving I'm right. Guys, this is how I operated as a leader and relationally for a decade. And so it's been the last 5 or 6 years changing as I teach you this. And I had this moment, and this is what I've said before. You'll be surprised when your internal wiring changes, the good stuff that comes out. It was a moment where I felt secure. Now, have you ever had those people that say, when you respond to a circumstance in life that's challenging, what comes out of you reveals who you are? I hate that saying. The reason I hate that saying is because it makes it sound like it's static and fixed. Like you're done. This is who you are. No, no, no. Life is dynamic. The more insights that you have about who you are, the more that change can happen. And so more than it's revealed in the moment of the hardship who you are, no, you get to cooperate with a process of change. When you downshift into identity first gear, when you reframe everything, every moment becomes a forming moment. So here's the way I think about it. Every moment has a potential to form you or deform you. You're becoming a better or worse version of yourself all the time. You're becoming a better or worse leader. And I just happen to have a forming moment because now even if it was a deforming moment, I can repair the tear. I can make change. I'm going to teach you about that in a little bit. But at this moment, I'm sitting there and I'm remembering some relational conflict of somebody I love and how they're burning some bridges. And I thought, oh, don't be like them. On the inside, I felt this welling up within me. Chris, just sit here and be wrong because you are. So I felt defensiveness, but instead I was able to say, no, I'm wrong. One of the most powerful things that you can do, and you know, you may need to do this right now as you're listening out loud, just say it. I was wrong. There may be a situation right now. Go ahead, try it. It feels weird, but do it. Just saying that out loud helps. Maybe some of you need to say, I need help. I lied. I'm sorry. When we're secure, we can be honest about who we are. I'm able to sit at the dinner table and know that here's my performance. My performance was lacking. I've been having this relational tell rather than walking through an issue that I need to support my wife or get more insight on. Instead, I'm registering my discontent through a facial mannerism. I need to pay attention to this, and I need to change, and I need to grow. This is so beautiful when you get this. Look, life is complex. We are complex, but ordering our internal world, while painstakingly intense, is simple. I have to know who I am and live out of a secure identity so I can enjoy relationships. And if you want to think about a baseline of what it means to explain what enjoying relationships is, it's love. Now you go ahead and tell me, here this is a leadership podcast. And yes, like I've said, I'm telling stories from all of my life because you bring all of who you are into the leadership game. Everything that's happening is affecting you. And so we want to learn to order our internal world so we can lead all of our external world. And when you enjoy relationships, you love. The best leaders truly do love the people they're leading. And it doesn't matter at what level you are in the organization. It doesn't matter at what level you are bringing leadership, energy, and focus. When you love and when you find security in who you are in the midst of the struggles of life, you can just enjoy being with people. So what I want to do is help you really understand the sacredness of just being human, the power of your identity, and how the energy of all your emotions are at work to help you enjoy relationships. The last 10 conversations we've had have been about this one idea happening, you really getting present with yourself and your pain and your fear and your joy. Then you can do the same for others. The more you recognize that you are proving and hiding in your own life, the more you will see it in others. And the more gracious you are with your own proving and hiding, the more gracious you will be with others. So the key question to enjoying relationships is this. Is there anything I feel afraid, insecure, or hyped about that is keeping me from being with this person here and now? If you're able to be present in that team meeting, if you're able to be present in that conversation with a loved one, you can then attune and adjust how you are relating to them so they can see, feel, and hear the gift of you being with them. You won't relate to them for how they can give you something that you want for your identity. Instead, you can love them how they need to be loved. You can serve them how they need to be served. Great relationships aren't built on larger-than-life moments, okay? It's built by people paying attention to small moments and loving from a secure identity. These 10,000 small moments nurture the momentum all great relationships need. So I want to break this down for you and give you some clear action steps for what it means to enjoy relationships. The first thing I'm going to challenge you to do is be present. This is what I've been referencing already. The more present you are with yourself, the more that you're able to be with yourself and know who you are and welcome all the parts of who you are to the table, the more you're able to pay attention to what's happening emotionally, the more you're going to be able to be positioned to enjoy relationships. So for me, it's as simple as learning to pay attention to what I feel. Maybe my wife and I have had a fight and I'm leaving in the morning and I don't want to go by the couch and lean down and give her a kiss on the cheek. I'm going to withdraw my love because I'm going to hide, right? I'm going to power up or I'm going to prove something. Instead, no, I feel that tug. I'm going to do it. I have that thought about somebody and I need to text them or I need to get out in the hallway and walk down and go by that office because I keep thinking about that person. The more I'm present with myself and not distracted by my own internal insecurity, fear, and shame, I can be present with others. And when I can be present with myself and present with others, the second thing that happens, I can give love how they feel loved. I'm kind of an expert on soy ice cream. I can tell you that there's some really nasty brands. I mean, disgusting. Tastes like metal is in your mouth as an aftertaste. Lately, they've been introducing some new brands. Killer taste. Amazing. In fact, you wouldn't recognize the difference, except the more that you eat it, the more that you'll recognize a little bit of sour pungency with cow's milk ice cream. Lots of great flavors. There's a couple of brands. They're just killing it, and the flavors are delicious. You'd never know the difference. I could do a blind taste test with you. You'd be completely fooled. Now, why do I know so much about soy ice cream? One of my children has severe dairy and egg allergies. Not that stuff that people like, oh, she gets sniffles. I hate that crap. No, anaphylactic. In other words, EpiPen. Game changer. Our life has to organize around this. Just props to my wife. She carries a huge burden for this and is making sure, you know, we never leave the house without the EpiPen. What a massive burden to carry. Point of this is we're organizing what we do as a family, our activities, and how we eat around what she needs. Yes, it's life-threatening, and so it's appropriate, but also we're doing it for all the emotional reasons of what it means for her to feel secure and loved and a part of this family. See, here's what happens. When you're secure in who you are, you give love how people need to feel loved. It's not something that you're just saying, I'm going to love you in a way that I need you to love me back. And so if your fear is to know your special, unique place, you're naturally going to want to make people feel their special, unique place when you're healthy. That's why I talked about giving where it hurts. This can shape your mission. But we get to an elevated level, and that was, I think, the eighth podcast, but we get to an elevated level of enjoying relationships when we understand, I am going to love you, not how I want to express love, but how you need love. And so when I understand that, I can look at three relational arenas for myself, teams that I lead with work, friends that I have, and then also my family commitments. I can look at the love that they need and love them how they need to be loved, not necessarily how I want it. So one of my kids could say, hey, put up my laundry and clean my room. What she's saying, will you celebrate my performance? She needs to know she's loved regardless of performance. One of my other kids, I could say, hey, you're loved regardless how you perform. They'd say, I know. Instead, for her, it's a different fear. It's for her to know that she's safe. I could go on and on with family stuff, with my friends. You know, there are friends that when I'm talking to them, I can jump right into the intense stuff. Some, it's warming up with some light stories. It's just knowing how they are shaped, what it means to meet their personality where they are. Are they introverted, extroverted, draw energy being alone, draw energy being around others? You start noticing all this when your own fear and insecurity isn't blocking your ability to pay attention. And then when you really get to get close to some of those friends, you notice their fears. You learn to speak in what they need, and it's a beautiful thing. And then with people that I work with, same thing. I mean, we could be into the team room walking through something, wrestling with an idea, and as we break it down, I'm going to pay attention to the fact that I might have triggered a fear with something I said. And my expectation as you lead the team and as it becomes more and more healthy, that they're able to recognize that. But that's another whole thing. Right now I'm talking about you get to love people how they need to be loved. This is what allows you to be resilient in relationships. So you want to be resilient in your work. We've talked about that. Know who you are apart from your work. You can keep going and make good decisions. You want to be resilient in relationships. Know who you are apart from those relationships. So if they're going through a phase where they can't give much to you right now, you can give to them and take care of them. Now, anytime I say this, there's always appropriately a conversation that needs to happen about boundaries. If you are in a relationship at work where somebody is abusive, you need to report that. If you are in a relationship at work where somebody is manipulative, coercive, and overpowering, and they're not helping you develop, you need to understand that you've got to play poker. You need to meet that person where they are, be as engaged as they need to see you engaged, and not give him or her a clue about what you're doing, which is figuring out a plan to get out of that space. There's a lot more we could say about that, but boundaries are just huge. And then if it's relational commitments that you have, people that you love, and you're in any way unsafe, get out. You say, but I want to have this reconciliation with this person. You can't have reconciliation oftentimes till there's separation. So you got to be safe, and it's always worth saying when we're talking about this stuff. But when you're secure in who you are, you get to love people how they feel loved. As you love people for how they're loved, you get to move to the next level, which is repair any tears. So we want to be present. We want to give love how they feel loved. And then we want to repair any tears. If you're going to enjoy relationships, you can't have these open loops of people that you've hurt along the way or that come back to your mind and you go, oh man, I really jacked up that person in the way that I led them, or I really just hurt that person that I love. I'm learning to pay attention to this so I repair that tear immediately. But there are times as I've been waking up to what it means to lead from a secure identity, I've had to go back and reach out to people. There are times where out of trying to prove something, I've been too aggressive as a leader and hurt some people with making decisions and cuts and firings. There were a couple of people a number of years ago that I just had to call through some names and say, I'm sorry. A couple of them I called pretty quick. Another one of them, it was about a year later, and he was shocked, and he was like, thank you so much. Not because of what I had done. It was more because of how I had done it, and I had done it out of insecurity. One of them that I tried to call, I'm following up with this guy and just saying, man, I got really blinded in a situation. I was leading insecure, And I wanted to apologize to him for the way things went down. So I track him down. He's in another state. And I call his landline from my landline, his office phone from my office phone. And he gets on the phone, and let's say his name is Bill. I'm like, hey, Bill, this is Chris McAllister. Dude, I need to tell you that I'm sorry, and I just need you to listen for a second. So I go through this two-minute spill, and then I don't hear any noise on the other line. I'm like, Bill, nothing. I'm like, dang it, he hung up on me, he's still pissed. So I'm going to try back. So I call back a second time. I get a hold of Bill. I'm like, Bill, man, what happened? He's like, I don't know. The phone just went dead. I legit believe this guy. I don't know what happened. But he didn't hear anything. And so now I've got to go back to it again. I said, well, Bill, man, I just got to tell you something. If you could just listen for a couple minutes and then we can chat. Humbling, vulnerable. Here this is leadership. And I'm apologizing. And I go through the whole thing. A second time I get to the end. Bill, nothing. You talk about feeling humble, eating the people pie. I'm not giving up. I'm two times in now. Call back a third time. Get a hold of him. I'm like, what is going on? We can't figure it out. It's landline to landline. Either way, third time, I go through my spill. He hears it all. And he's like, man, I'd already forgiven you. Whew, huge. But I had to do what was necessary to repair that tear. If you're going to enjoy relationships, you can't have these open mental loops. And sometimes you can't go make that apology because of things that have changed or whatever. What do you do if it feels really gut-wrenching? Go back to the sixth episode. Use that space you create to go play that out. If you can't get directly to that person, what's it like for you to imagine yourself having a conversation with them and talking to them? And then also just learning to do it right in the moment. And so what a huge thing, and we've referenced this a few times so far, but to lead with vulnerability is to call out your own fear. And in the meeting, for you to say, look, I just did that because I was afraid of this. Everybody knows that. We all see that. You're just bringing attention to it in a way that gives people permission to call out their own BS. A little bit back ago, some of our kids had this coughing sickness from hell. It was just so intense and it just exhausting. You know what it's like if you've been through that phase and you're not sleeping. And we had just some issues of conflict with bedtime because you got to go to bed earlier because you're sick, you got to get better. And I was getting some attitude. And rather than being investigating and validating what was happening in that moment, I just tried to power up and get a conforming of behavior, right? So it happens at home, it happens as leaders. This is how we can mess up. And I verbally went off. I felt terrible. I leave the moment. Of course, you're going to feel shame after that happens. And rather than just feeling guilt about your behavior, you feel shame in who you are. So you get blocked up. You don't have clarity. And so I was able to process that, accelerate by downshifting into first gear identity. We've talked about that. Go back to the first episode. I'm able to do all that. And then I need to go into her room and apologize and repair the tear. And just say, look, I was really tired. I was getting some attitude appropriately. You know, she had some stuff to own there. She's got to choose whether or not she wants to own it. I can't force her to do that. But I've got to own what I've got to own. And that was my response. So we want to be present, give love how they feel loved, repair the tear. And last, I want you to find a safe friend where there's no proving or hiding and call yourself out at least once this week. This is huge. I'm telling you that most people are suffocating in loneliness. They do not know what it's like to have one friend where they do not have to hide or prove in any way. I don't make that my family. So with my family, I don't have to hide or prove. I can lead out of security, but I'm not exposing them to everything that I struggle with also. That would be inappropriate and put too much on them. So here I'd made a transition a number of months ago to focus on site shift lead, full-time focus, dive in, boom, let's go after it. Well, that's risky and scary. And as it's taking off, there's some financial intensity there. And especially in the earlier part of this, it was scary as momentum was building. It's like, oh, it's happening, but it's not quite yet happened. I'm not sitting my kids down and exposing them to the financial intensity of the moment and say, this is what it is, and I'm scared, I might say, hey, we can't do that right now because we're focusing our funds on doing this. So I'm processing at a level of openness that I wouldn't necessarily process it maybe on the podcast. You have different degrees of relationships. You have this relationship with the public and what you do. And you're going to relate to them in a different way than maybe that inner circle of the people that you're close to, where you're going to share a lot more. But then there's those one or two solid people that you don't have to take anything and hide anything. Game changer when you have that. And I want to not confuse you here, leaders. That's not the point of having a team. When you lead something organizationally, the team wrestles with the complexity of the issue and the depth of it so that they can go bring the rest of the organization into the simplicity of the strategy and the execution. The point of being a vulnerable leader is not to dump everything. You've got to process that at the executive management level and then, or whatever the team level is wrestling with something. I'm talking about that friend that you can say, here is everything, all the guts and glory. The way that I talk about it is it's a safe, redemptive friend. Let me break these words down for you. Safe. You can tell them something and they're not going to use it against you. They're not going to blab it. Redemptive. They're going to help you learn to live out of security in who you are in this. They're not going to high-five you in your self-sabotaging choices. They're not going to shame you in them either. They are going to be a consistent presence, helping you learn to continue to live out of security in who you are. And so here's the challenge that I have for you. And this is risky and vulnerable, but if you want to, number four, find a safe friend where there is no proving or hiding, when you're secure in who you are, you can make a risk and not get crushed by it if it doesn't work out. So I know I'm asking you to make a risk. As you make this risk, though, here's the way it's going to give you a baby step into it. Know that you're secure in your identity. As you make this risk, you're going to be okay. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. This, after hearing this today, find a person that you can call yourself out at least once. Take something that you did where you were proving or hiding. You did something out of insecurity. And I just want you to call yourself out with them. Say, this happened and I did this. For this safe, redemptive friend, this is the place where there doesn't have to be any secrets. And it's amazing. When you have a space where you don't have to have any secrets, it unblocks an ability for you to enjoy relationships. And that's what I want for you. And when people, when you enjoy relationships, your leadership becomes infectious in a great way. You're not just living on a platform or on a stage with charisma, winning people over. It's actually when people get up close to you, they see who you are. And you may not have to share everything in every space, but the more that you walk through these and you're present and you give love, help people feel loved, you repair tears, and you find a safe friend where there are no secrets, your ability to enjoy relationships skyrockets. It's amazing. It adds so much joy to your life, and it makes your leadership that much more attractive. So dive into this. Call yourself out once. Thanks for listening along.
This has been The Site Shift, lead podcast with Chris McAllister. Thank you for listening.